the same time, we're going to fight for a relationship because that is important. Because our agreement is at stake. Agreeing to what God is wanting us to do and how He wants us to do it. And it's at stake because the enemy would always wanting to knock us there. So I'm going to talk about fighting for a relationship. And just to explain to you, when I came into ministry 2008, I took over from Hercules in Shofar Vista. So it took me 2 years to stabilize things after he left. He left after 5 years, so I took over from him and I had to establish things. And then I had to fight for relationships. Man, there was one guy after 2 years when we were in the ministry, one of the guys told me, "Look here, Carlos, we only trust you now." I just want to say this. I mean, the man was a small group leader. He did what was expected of him, but it took him 2 years to trust me, and I can't even be angry with him about it. It just works like that. You know. And then after that, we had 1 year of stability, and then we merged with another church. Oh, my word. So the other church had to give up their vision. We merged with another church, and I'll tell you, the way we had to fight for a relationship there, it was scary. And so we did that for 2 years, and then in the last year, the third year, then we just, where we have grown to the place of stability, God said, "Now move to London." So now we're here. So what I'm sharing this morning is not stuff that I sucked out of my thumb. It's things God has challenged me with, and me and my family, and it's things that I'm trusting us to get right in the body of Christ, because this is something I believe God is talking to the body of Christ. I can tell you many scary stories of people nodding their heads, praising and worshiping together, and they're not in unity. It's the old analogy of my mom asking me to wash the dishes. I do it, but I grumble. There's not a blessing on it. And it works like this. We're all working on the same project. We're all doing the same thing. But within our hearts, we're just thinking, "No, I would have done it this way. And I would have done it this way. And I would have done that." And yeah, we're all doing the same thing, but we're not doing all the same thing. You get what I'm saying? So that's a contentious issue when it comes to fighting for relationship. And I say here, people that are successful at managing and maintaining relationships in a faithful, honoring, respectful, and loving way models the way of Christ and the way of the cross. I mean, if you want to know how to fight for relationships, we've got to look at Christ. What He did for each and every one of us while we were still sinners. And so the principles that I'm going to share with you today is beautiful principles, because what I'm wanting us to see and what I think Christ is showing us in these last days, God is wanting to show us how do we fight for relationships in church, but how do we also fight for the relationships outside of church. So first of all, I'm going to start with in church today, and I'm going to be honest with you, the stuff that I am going to share with you is going to be difficult. It's going to be really difficult, but I believe Christ is wanting to say this. I've been working through this now for 4 years. I've had this sermon on my shelf for 4 years. And I really just felt this week God said, "Now's the time to preach it." I've never preached it. I've just worked through it and talked through it with God. Fighting for a relationship. Because if we can get that right, I can tell you, do we know why Jesus said, "Look, if you agree and you ask me anything, not some things, anything, I'll give it to you." So the contrary, I must ask us, why do we ask and we do not get? Like James says, you ask but you don't receive. Are you with me? So there's something there that we need to contend for. And that's why I'm honoring Ali for what he touched on. It's profoundly spiritual and prophetic what he said. Because the church is going to stand in the last days, the church is going to get that right. You'll bound things in heaven and you'll loosen them. And that's what I'm aiming at. But we're going to do the way of relationship. So, let me just sketch this. Jesus is on the cross. Peter denies him. Judas stabs him in the back. Mark cusses. Did you know that Mark cussed? He actually swore. Just read scripture. Mark cussed, you know. He used profane language, and then he ran away. They grabbed his outer garment and he ran away naked. So Jesus' church planting strategy for the last 3 years was just in disarray, mayhem. He was 30, so now he's 33. He's going to go to the cross. His church is in shambles, as we would think. And just, I'm just wanting to say, when it comes to big churches, small churches, if you look at that, if you look at Jesus, then the whole world would say, "Ah, Jesus, you failed. Your church was only 12 big." Before we talk numbers. But before we go to the 120 in the up room with kids and, you know, adults within the upper room, there's the space where the disciples, they occupy it, they feel useless. All of them ran away except John. It was only John at the foot of the cross. And Mary, I don't know where all the men was, and I'm saying it very softly, but they're not there. So they lock themselves up because they're scared. This guy that did all these miracles, he died, he's not here anymore, and they lock themselves up, and they're really scared. They're sitting in this room, and that is where we're going to take the story, because that is where God took me through those 6 years that I've explained to you, 2 years taking over from another pastor, 2 years merging a church. Now, how does God just talk to me through this? On the evening of the day, the first day of the week, John chapter 20, verse 19 to 23. We're going to look now at how Christ fought for relationship. On the evening of the day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for the fear. There's that word fear. The doors are locked, eh? Of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Jesus knows how to make an entrance, eh? He doesn't use Yale keys or locks, or he just walks through the walls. You know, "Peace be with you." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of many, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." I just want to stop there and just want to say this. So what I'm going to do this morning, I'm going to drop principles with you. I'm not necessarily going to explain a lot of them. But what I want us to do in fighting, I want us to pray them through on our own. Because we know for what relationships we need to fight. And we also know what relationships we don't want to fight for. But we actually should fight for them. Are you with me? So I'm just going to drop the principles. Because just remember where Ali was last week. We're on our way to the upper room. Intercession and prayer. Can you imagine how it was in the upper room? So, okay, this is how I imagine it was. Okay, Peter, you ran away. Why? Let's talk about it before we pray. They were quite a long time in the upper room, wasn't it, so? You know, and so why was there only woman there? Where were all you men? Were you hungry? Were you at McDonald's when you were supposed to be at the cross? And Mark, why did you cuss? That's what I'm thinking in my head. They were discussing this. Because for the Holy Spirit to come down on them and to get that unity where they could change the world, they had to talk about what happened. But now, I love the way Jesus fights for relationships. He comes through the wall, and the first principle is allow people to recognize our wounds so that they can see Christ in us. Jesus, after everybody dropped him, denied him, he came through the wall and he made himself vulnerable. Now that's a challenge. If people drop you, if they backstab you, are you willing to make yourself vulnerable like Jesus did? You see, we need to find the strength in Christ to show people that we're there for them. Now that, I know, it's contrary to what the world says. Now, man, chuck them. Don't listen to them. Walk away from them. Christ goes through the walls and he just so shows them his hands. He shows them his pain. He shows them that is where I was in my deepest pain. None of you were there, but I'm just wanting to let you know I'm here for you. You see, when people see your pain, you're vulnerable. Almri had a talk with the ladies in this year, last year, I can't remember, but it was about the power of vulnerability. You see, the world says that we should show them, we should show the world actually that we're fine. Scripture's contrary. Scripture talks about a contrition. We sang about the jars of clay, brokenness and weakness, but that's the vulnerability that we need to show people. And I'm going to say this very slowly. Show your vulnerability to the people that hurt you. Show your vulnerability to the people that hurt you. It's not time to play poker face. You know poker face where nobody knows how you're feeling. I used to make a joke at our congregation back in Vista. I tell them every Sunday morning sometimes, welcome to the Oscars. And the Oscar goes to Carlos because it's fine. No, it's really fine. God's good. But deep inside, God's not good. You know? But allow people to see vulnerability. Principle number one. I'm just dropping the principles with you. The second principle, did you recognize? Now, I'm just going to talk now from my human perspective. If my friends drop me, if my friends stab me in the back, I would have gone through that wall. Say, look here, my Chinas, let's have a talk here. I'm going to nail you this morning. Now just imagine the disciples, they're sitting there, they know that they dropped Jesus. If I was a disciple, I would have thought, oh, he came through the wall. First of all, I would have been very scared because he came through the wall. Secondly, he's actually alive. And then thirdly, I would have thought he's going to change me into a frog now or something. He's going to do some magic. But did you hear Jesus' words? Because Jesus, now they were scared, Jesus said, peace be with you. Can you speak peace over the people that drop you? Can you speak peace over the people that backstabbed you, that just left you alone on your cross? Jesus said, peace be with you. You speak blessing over their destiny. Jesus blessed them. Isn't it contrary to what the world teaches us? The next one. Jesus said, I forgive you. And he said it in a very particular way. Did you see it? He said, as the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. So what Jesus was saying to them, just the way that I'm speaking peace to you and I'm speaking forgiveness over you, all that I'm saying is I'm sending you in the same way. I'm giving you the authority to do it. I'm giving you the strength actually to do this. As we fight for a relationship, we need to find the strength in Christ to forgive people. I can remember being in a conference in Cape Town where those guys from Reading was, and we were just having a time, a ball of a time, pastors there, just receiving some impartation. And what this one guy shared to you, this lady just hating her husband because he divorced, and she had a, what do they call it? Her mouth just went skew, you know, because of a nervous breakdown. A paralysis. And as they were praying for, he passed then and he just turned back. He said, look here, I'm just sensing God says that you must forgive somebody. Is there anybody? He said, yes, I must forgive my husband. Dear. He divorced me. She forgave him and the paralysis left immediately. Immediately. The power of forgiveness. And the opposite is roots of bitterness. You know what Satan will do when we have to fight for relationships? I can tell you this. And we had to cover our hearts in so many ways through these past years in God's glorious church. But the fact is that if Satan gets it right to offend you and to offend me, you know what will happen after that? Can I just give you an insight tip? God showed me this beautifully. After that, Satan will prosper you. He'll leave you alone and then he'll prosper you because the seed's planted. So what happens? Your success grows with your bitterness. Because both are seeds. Until that day, it explodes. And I always say, it's very, very dangerous for a bitter person to be successful. Our greatest test is not the way we suffer. Our greatest test is our success. That's why Jesus talked about the forgiveness. He told them, look, I'm not angry with you. I don't want to fight with you. Peace be with you. I've forgiven you already. Go change the world. With the same attitude you've given me. And I want you to fight for relationships like that. Are you with me? This is just preparation for the upper room. You know? Let's go further. Now Thomas, we're just going to go through John chapter 9:20, you know. Now Thomas, one of the 12 called the twin, was not with them. He wasn't there when Jesus came through the walls. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the marks of the nails and place my finger into the marks of the nails and place my hand into, I will never believe you. So, what does this Jesus do? 8 days later, his disciples were inside again. And Thomas was this time with them, although the doors were locked. Scripture is very specific, so the doors are locked again. Jesus came and stood again. He does this appearance thing among them, and he says, again, peace be with you. Guys, I'm fighting for this relationship. I know you're locking yourself up, but I just want to say, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. You know what God just taught me in those few years was, we've got to change the perspective of those who doubt the sincerity of our faith. It's our responsibility. If people doubt the sincerity of your faith and my faith, go back and show them the contrary. Show them the person that you hate. It's not me. This is the real me. That's what Jesus did with Thomas. Thomas doubted. Jesus said, hey, Thomas, don't doubt, man. And again, it's painful how Jesus does it. Jesus changes Thomas's doubt by showing him his pain. And allowing him to put his finger in his pain. I must say this. Obviously, if people don't want it after a period of time, we must walk on. But we'll get there later. But to begin with, we're in the business of changing perspectives. I don't care what people think of us in this little wall here. It's our responsibility to go out there and to fight for those relationships. To show them, listen, this is actually who we are. Now, I know you heard we slaughter cows at Burview Hall. But just come with me. Come and see if we really slaughter cows. Just come and check, you know. And the funny singing. No, I can explain to you what the funny singing is. It's not gibberish or something. It's actually something really good and cool. You with me about fighting with those? Have you been in a place where people diss you because of the genuineness of your faith? And you're like figuring out, God, all I'm just trying to show them. Jesus gives us a way to fight for it. John 21, verse 4 to 6. Now, just before we read there. So, after the locking ourselves up, the disciples, Peter says to his friends, look, you guys, I'm sick of Christianity. I'm going to go back fishing. Who's with me? And you know men. When there's no real leadership, they'll follow anybody. And they say, yeah, Peter. Hey. Take out the Glenfiddich whiskey. Let's have a whiskey and let's go fish again. Yeah, Peter, yeah. So they're fishing. They're catching nothing. And so this happens. You know, I know very few fishermen that's cool, man. You know, back in South Africa, it's hardcore fishermen there, hey? From the West Coast to the South Coast, man, those fishermen are hardcore. So that's why I'm thinking J&B, Glenfiddich. I'm thinking of all of that, you know. I make Scripture interesting for me. I don't know how you read Scripture. But just as the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know. Now, after they locked themselves up, now they're going back to their old ways, and still Jesus is fighting for this relationship. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" And they answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of the fish. The principle: help people to be successful at what they like. Help people to be successful at what they like, and show them how and why you have met each other. This is not the first time that Jesus is teaching Peter how to fish. Do you remember the first time when they didn't catch anything? Luke chapter 5. Jesus says again, "Throw it on the other side." And then he falls on his knees and says, "Truly you are God." And then Jesus says, "It's cool, follow me." This is the second time Jesus has to teach Peter. "Look here, Peter, can you remember how we met each other? I'm just showing you again how to fish here, Peter. I'm showing you again why we've met. I'm showing you again here, Peter, why I've met you, how I've met you. And you know, Peter, I'm just showing you again and I'm helping you to be successful." And that is exactly what Christ wants us to do when we have to fight for relationship. We've got to show people why we met. One of the things... Now, I must just say, not all the 6 years was doom and gloom. It was beautiful 6 years, but there's a lot that I learned. The one guy that I don't know what to call it. We didn't see eye to eye. And I was sitting with him one day, and I told him, "Look here." Let's call him Peter. "Look here, Peter. This is what I see in you. This is the anointing that I see in your life. This is where God's going to take you. This is what I believe God wants to do in your life. Do you see it?" He said, "Yes, I see it. I know." I said, "I know this is why we met, because we're going to work on your destiny together. I believe in what you do. I believe where you're going to go." I said, "I know why we've met, and this is how we met. Can you remember?" "Yes." And so I asked him, "So why do you think of me?" And then there the problem started, because he actually didn't think anything of me. I said, "So why did we meet?" I said, "I've listed to you all the things that I think of you. Can you at least say that I'm your pastor?" He couldn't say that I was his pastor. I was his friend, I was his China, I was a lot of things. But I wasn't what I thought God meant us to be together. You with me? It's like coming into Anami's office, and so now you just want to tell Anami what she needs to do. Have you ever worked with people like that, Anami? They're the better social worker than you. So you're thinking then, you're actually thinking, "So I wonder why I studied. So what's my role here? Am I just here to hand out stuff now?" You with me? It's very difficult to fight for relationships when we don't see the anointing God has placed on each other's life and we don't have respect for it. I can be a pastor, but if I talk to Ian or I talk to Miao and I go to Miao's workplace, I must have a respect for the fact that the man works in IT. I have to respect that. I must know this is functional authority speaking here. I must understand that I must keep my mouth shut. I must receive now. You with me? And so that's what Jesus was trying to show them here. As a friend, you know how we connected. I taught you how to fish. Hey, Peter, you know how we met. You know who I am. So when they realized, the funny thing is Peter actually jumped with his clothes into the water. Have you ever been caught out and you don't know what to do? Well, it was one of those moments. He jumped with all his clothes, he jumped into the water. You can read it. It's actually quite funny. Scripture's full of humor. When they got out on land, they saw a coal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have caught." Man, that just looks cool. The creator of the universe organizing a fish braai. Isn't that cool? I think it was probably Jesus didn't use matches, who agree with me. It's not in scripture. I just thought he said fire, coals. You know, I just thought it, I don't know. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared ask him, why are you? They knew it was the Lord. Are you ready for the next principle? Are you ready for the next principle? Serve those who are vulnerable because of relational, emotional, and spiritual weakness. Can you serve those who hurt you? Because usually people that hurt us, they're vulnerable. They have relational difficulty on an emotional and spiritual level. They're weak. But can we serve them? Can you see how Jesus is fighting for this relationship? He's fighting for this relationship by giving the people that backstabbed him, left him for dead, a fish fry. He's serving them. It's amazing. It is so contrary to what the world will say. The world will say, you write them off. And we're going to get to that. There is a place where we need to walk away. When they had finished breakfast, it's quite healthy to eat fish for breakfast. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to them, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to them, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to them, tend my sheep. He said to them a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. A lot of people just think Jesus was talking about Peter's calling here, but it was much deeper. You know, it was just this one thing where Jesus said to him, Peter, you know what I did for you. Peter, you know where I come from. Peter, do you know that I know that you were created in eternity? Peter, do you know how much I love you? Do you know what it meant for me? Peter, that's why I'm hanging at this page. And Peter, I'm wanting to show you that I care so much for you. Although you don't know what you're doing, I'm fighting here for you, Peter. I'm not fighting for your calling. I know that you must feed my lamb. I know that you must feed the sheep. But Peter, this is about you and me. I'm fighting here for you, Peter. I'm doing this for your sake. And so Peter breaks down in tears. All resistance crumble. He says, God, you know everything. Truly I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you. This is depicting how Peter would die. Upside down on a cross. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after that, saying Jesus said, follow me. The principle. Reflect the love of Christ by pointing people to Christ. When it's difficult in relationships, we've got to talk about when we fight, do you love me more than Christ? When we fight, do you love yourself more than Christ? When we deny one another, what's going on here? Is it about Christ? Are we fighting for this relationship for Christ? It's very difficult to have a meaningful relationship when Christ is not number one in it. That's what Jesus was trying to show him here. And so when we fight, we've got to, in Jesus' way, just reflect the love of Christ by pointing people to Christ. And then get excited about other people's calling and speaking life over their calling. Can you be excited about the people's calling that have hurt you? Like Jesus just say, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. You're going to be cool. This is it, you're going to die, but I'm excited for you. And then I'm just going to end off because I don't want to keep you long. Show people that your friendship, your relationship should glorify God. It's very important when we fight for relationship. It works like this. just want to use a life prop. Sometimes in our relationships, we get so tight, there's no room for the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit does something in my sister's heart, I can't see it. And when the Holy Spirit does something in my heart, I can't see it. So now Margot comes there and Margot tells the both of us, look here, God is saying this and this, and then we get offended. Who gives you the right to tell us how and what? We tight, but the tightness is not us. The tightness is unhealthy. So what needs to happen, the Holy Spirit needs to have enough room between us so that we can honor what God's doing. Show people that your relationship glorifies God. Most fights don't glorify God because of that principle. Either one of the two parties, when we have to fight for a relationship, is not willing just to lay down their hearts. Thank you. You're with me. And it was a tough one for me when God started talking to me about this. Who's getting honored in all of this? And I suspect that in the upper room all of this happened. Prayed, discussed, debated, cried, until that day when the wind came in rushing. You see, you can have a very unhealthy relationship, then you have a Tower of Babel. Then God has to confuse our tongues in intercession. But then you can have the upper room unity. Then we all speak in tongues, but then it's not confusion. Then the whole world gets saved. Fighting for relationship is such a pivotal part nowadays. And I'm speaking now to this thing that's just hovering over the whole world. It's the narcissist. The narcissists hate this message. Because you know what? To do this and to get this right, you have to give up so much of yourself. It's very painful. It is very, I can tell you this. This is painful stuff, but it's glorious stuff. If we want to see the true church, the glory of Christ, we got to get this right. There's one part in Scripture that always gets me. It's in the book of Acts. Have you ever read it where Scripture says, and nobody had a need? In Acts. It's scary when a church comes to this place that nobody has need. Because that type of unity to pray together and to see God together is extraordinary. It is God with. It is brilliant. It is glorious. And I know God's going to take us there. I don't care about big churches and how big churches are and all of that. Yes, that is important, but that is not as much as important. Because I know Satan will keep any movement big. As long as they fool around and playing big dreams and big things. So it's fine. You can be big. I'm telling you. I've seen this in my own life. How Satan will prosper me. And then you think you're okay. Until we get unveiled. Until we stand naked before the cross and we realize, okay, man, I'm being prospered, but there's another way here. There's another way in approaching this. That's why my moment when I assembled my kitchen table was so beautiful. I mean, you could ask Ian and Margot. I cried and I didn't know what to say. Because I just knew this is something that God is orchestrating here, and I'm part of it. I'm really blessed to be part of it. But I'll tell you, when relationships start, the landlord was there and the landlady. So I could see in their eyes, they want to figure out now who's doing this. Why are they giving you all of this? And They're trying to figure this out because what I'm talking about when you're fighting for a relationship is the love one another principle. That love that I'm talking about this morning is so unique that other people will know that we're his disciples. That's a very unique kind of love. It's found nowhere else except within the church. The world can't give it. It cannot. That love you cannot give without the Holy Spirit, unfortunately. Fortunate for us, we've got the Spirit of Christ. So right now, Christ, by the power of his Holy Spirit, is just stirring so many hearts to move in so many directions. And God's putting us, you all know it, God's putting all of us in awkward relationships. And we're thinking, God, how am I supposed to fight for this? God, how am I going to win this over? And then God's also saying there's certain relationships, not in a bad sense, in a good sense, that we need to walk away from. So that we can grow closer. Are you with me? And that's what I mean. We're going to see amazing, amazing, amazing miracles. Because we're going to stand under this principle of the loyalty and the love. I mean, the last times after this, when they see Jesus is on the mountain, when Jesus says, okay, the next time you see me, I'll be on my horse, I'll come back to fetch you. And then they go into the upper room. After Christ fought for them, and Christ said, look at the way I'm fighting for you now. This also, it's scary. I mean, Meg, love other people the way I have loved you. Have you ever thought of it? I must actually love people the way Jesus loved me. It's impossible, but yet it's possible. It's one of those dichotomies in Scripture that our minds cannot get over, but our hearts can. In our heart, we know I can do it. I can love the Peter that dropped me. I can love the Mark that ran away. Because this is the scary part. There's going to come a time in every relationship on this earth where we're going to do the Jesus, do what you do quickly. Unfortunately, it's going to come down to that. Judas, do what you do quickly. Satan entered him. Relationships were severed. Written out of the books of history as a very bad guy. Never to be the same again. All of us need to fight that one. But those who are willing to stuck with their guns, even if they don't feel like it, they say, God, I'm standing here, I'm still here, I don't know. God, I'm not making sense to myself, I'm not making sense to my wife, but I am here. Christ will reign on glory within our hearts and we'll speak it. And God's going to give us the, listen to what I'm saying now, God's going to give us the ability to speak into people's lives, people that other people have given hope up on. We're going to speak into their hearts and they're going to change forever. That's the type of community we're going to build from this wall. It's going to explode with grace. It's not going to be about the bigness and the hugeness and the flashy light. It's going to be about genuine relationships, walking into people's hearts, walking into the people of Britain, walking into their lives with their cosmopolitan beauty to the Pakistanis. Everyone, are we going to sit down? We're going to win them over, but it's not going to be through miracles first. And yeah, that's going to be there. Sometimes we must do a miracle first before people do. But I'll tell you, speaking in their hearts, showing them how to fight for a relationship, showing them. But I'll tell you, it's got to start. You've got to start fighting for the relationships for the people that you don't want to fight for. Start there. Make your list. You know the FBI has a number one and a number two. Who's your number one that you don't want to talk to? Who's your number two that you don't want to talk to? Your number three. You work them and you start to fight for that relationship. You go with it. You fight for it. And you know when you're going to win? When you can agree with your enemy. When you can agree with your enemy around the shed blood of Christ, you've won. When Mary can say, you know what, Peter, I forgive you for dropping my son, but I'll pray with you. Can you imagine how difficult it was for Mary? I'm just going to stand on this side for the feedback. Can you imagine how difficult it would have been for Mary? They dropped the son. They left him. And so now she has to plant church with these guys. I don't know. It's just, again, my human nature that will kick in. You know, but I would first want a cappuccino and talk about this. You know, I don't know how they did it. But it was cool. You know, that's why I like a guy like Barnabas. Barnabas is one of the guys that there's not much of him being said within the New Testament. But when everybody was scared of Paul, Barnabas said, no, guys, don't be scared of this man. This is a giant in the faith. Barnabas took him to Jerusalem. Barnabas fought for this relationship with him. No, come, Paul, it's okay, don't worry. I know you murdered a lot of Christians, but just come with me. Say, guys, don't hate this man. Can you imagine Barnabas? That must have been awesome. And yet it's the same Barnabas and Paul that had a dispute over Mark. Barnabas said, look here, Paul says, no, Mark's not going to go with us. And so their ways parted. And again, Scripture is always about fighting for relationships at crucial issues. Isn't this an encouraging message? That we actually have the ways and means to win people's hearts. We don't give good advice. We spread the good news. Outside of that, it's only good advice. It's only intellectual help. But with the power of the Spirit, it changes people's lives forever. No other story like that exists except within Scripture and within church. The rest is good advice. And we need good advice. But if we want to change people's lives, we must spread the good news. And this is part of the good news. And that is why I want to encourage you with what Jesus said this morning. As the Father has sent me, Carlos, I send you. We've got the ability. We've got the ability. The most powerful moment of the cross while Christ fought for each and every one of our relationships was at that point where he said, Father, forgive them. Father, I know I have the ability to call down angels and to kill this whole lot. Father, can't we do a flood again? Oh, no, we can't. We promised Noah with a rainbow. So, can't we do fire, Father? You know? No. The way Christ fought for each and every one of us while we were still sinners, isn't it astounding? I'm excited to be here. I'm so excited to be here. I'm so excited just to talk to people. Yesterday I had my first official English haircut. It was beautiful. But thank you, Auntie Melba. What was it, Elmery, about the tea? Pay for the haircut, get a cup of tea, and the gossip is free. In the hairdresser, and the gossip is free. I say, wow. Next time I'm going to come back, I'm going to talk about that. So why is the gossip free? So what would be gossip? So is gossip good? It's going to be a glorious conversation the next time. Do you like people gossiping about you? Why not? It's going to be a glorious conversation because I'm going to Ephesians chapter 4 where we shouldn't, you know. We're going to go to Proverbs. I'm just seeing so much to fight for relationships with people. I'm just seeing it. It's out there and they're willing. They're willing to open up their hearts. The guy that I bought my 3-prong plug, I was talking to him and I said, listen, this, I'm from South Africa. This is what I need. I said, just drop it. You look tired. Yeah, I am, mate. I said, okay, but then we must talk. There's an openness. There's a way to win people over. I'll tell you, it's glorious, but I'm trusting that God will start with us here. We're going to change impossible situations. Family feuds. I'm trusting God that it will change in a sec. Just hearts being knit together, seeing eye to eye, Christ can do it. Let's pray. Can we just, Christy, the communion. We're just going to break bread around this. We're going to break bread around the fact that Christ showed us how to fight for relationship. I'm going to break bread now, and I want us just to trust God to show us how we need to fight. That's all. I don't want much. I don't want any commitments from anybody. I'm not going to have an altar call and say, come to the front. No. All that I want is that we just ask God the grace to show us how to fight. That's all. Are you with me? And we're going to break bread around that, because that represents the best way of fighting for people. We're not even there yet, shedding blood for someone else. I mean, that's scary fighting, huh? Carlos, I'll shed my blood for you because I love you. And Carlos, I'll shed my blood for you even if you don't deserve it. And Carlos, I'll shed my blood for you. And I did it while you were a sinner. Wow. What an example. What an example of beauty. And it's going to start at home. So for me, it's going to start with my wife and my kids. How am I going to fight for them? It's going to start there. And then it's going to boil over to church. And then from church to the community. And then to the nations and the rest of the world. Reconciling ourselves to Christ. It's going to be beautiful. These last 2 months, I had to fight to understand my two daughters. Oh, man. 3 weeks before we came, the youngest one had a very emotional dip about coming here. And I said, God, are you testing me? God, are you trying to be funny? She can't cry like this. We're supposed to leave in 2 weeks' time. And then she started chilling out and being cool. And then it started with the other one. So I said, God, you must be joking. Where are we going with this? Can I put this down here? The blood on the keyboard, you know. And I thought, God, you have a funny way of showing us the move. And then guess what happened the following week? I started crying. I said, okay, God, I catch your drift. You're teaching me how to feel for my kids. I first have to see it, and then I'll be it. And you know what? And then I knew how to pray for them. I knew how to understand them. I knew what to ask and not to ask. And I even knew how to keep my mouth shut and just hold them. Some of us, we must get back to that place again. See how people feel. Be where people at. And then just reflect Christ to them. And if that's all that we get right today, I'm fine. And then, you know, when I come here, somebody like Christy just said over the phone, you know, I just organize the things so that your kids can settle in. And I think, no, what about me and Elmery? But then I just thought again, it's so beautiful. It's just Christ's way of reflecting. And I must tell you, that's why I'm overwhelmed. Because it's the first time in a long time when dust has settled that I'm present to seeing where people are at. And my prayers to change for them. Even if they don't like me, I don't care about it. If you don't want to listen to me, you've got to listen to Christ, and I'll talk to Him on my knees on your behalf. And it will change. Father, thank you for your beauty of holiness and for showing us how to fight for relationship through Scripture. We don't have it all together. But we bring everything about us to you because we want you to teach us how to do it. From the Indian shop owner to the Indian doctor, to the Pakistani shareholder, to the British executive, the soccer player. Give us the way to reach to their heart. Show us. And God, with us here in church, start with us, start with our families. That let us have an empathy and a sympathy for our spouses again, for our friends, for those who hurt us. Because God, we want to really go about that place that Ali preached about, that intercession, that unifying thing that just brings us together, where we can ask anything and you give it to us. Thank you that it's a reality, God. Thank you for the shed blood of Christ. Let's eat and drink together, and then we're going to worship with one song, and then we'll end off.